Welcome to Short Shifts. Jeffrey J. Hulavecchio here. Topher Scott is my co-pilot on this magic carpet ride that we always talk about. Toph has no idea what I'm about to ask him. We have 10 minutes on the clock. I almost completely forgot what time we started, but I got it. 23:30. We're going till Toph, your topic, which you have to accept no matter what, because we're cousins. Walking the line for D-men. Walking the line offensive zone. What do you like? What do you not like? What do you look for? What have you seen that works? What do you think maybe doesn't work as well?
Are you talking about Johnny Cash here? Walk the line?
Oh, wow. I didn't even
catch your mind.
I was like, Johnny Cash, where does he play? Idiot.
I think first, if you're listening to this, the next time you watch an NHL game, when a defenseman walks the line, watch where their feet are. A lot of times their feet are outside the blue line and their stick is inside the blue line. That gives you a little bit more separation between yourself and the defending winger who's potentially coming out, which and at the end of the day, an extra half a second is extremely important when it comes to getting shots through. And so having the ability, like, just watch their feet and how close or outside the blue line they are. That's habit number one. Habit number two, always be pre-scanning. It's such a little thing, but it's such an important thing. At the end of the day, when you're walking the line or you get that puck out at the blue line, like, you want to get shots through. And the best way to be able to do that is to understand where the defending winger is even before you get the puck. So let's say you're a right-handed shot and you're on the right blue line and there's somebody that's bringing the puck up from the corner into the decision zone right around like the hash marks, and you kind of like come off the wall without the puck, you should be pre-scanning, like, where's that winger, and then put yourself in a position where you might have a one tee right at the net, not into the guy's shin pads, right? So that's a little bit without the puck. I know you're talking walking the line, and walking the line is with the puck, but I still think like pre-scanning. So when you do get the puck, now you're in a better ability to get a shot through. Make sense?
Absolutely love it.
Okay. Another thing I think that's good, and this is like kind of debatable depending on which way you want to look at it, but like if you get the puck on the wall and you're trying to walk it to the middle, some coaches like it where you're kind of like 10 and 2-ing it, kind of like, what do they call, mohawking. Other coaches like it where you get it and you forward sprint. You absolutely forward sprint to the middle of the ice. And there's different ways of thinking about that. Like when you're mohawking, you have the puck potentially, especially if you're like a right-handed shot on the right D, you have the puck on your forehand. So you can make a pass or you can make a play a little bit easier, as opposed to like if you're a righty and you're like sprinting to the middle, now all of a sudden you're kind of have it on your backhand. But when you're sprinting towards the middle, you're sprinting towards the middle. Now we're getting a shot lane. Now it creates a little bit more chaos. It's a little bit harder for that defender to get into your shot lane. So there's like two schools of thought when it comes to that. Some coaches like one way, some coaches like another way. And so that's just one thing. It's a little bit more of a preference. But yeah, blue line play, like the other thing is what you're seeing a little bit more at the higher levels of hockey. And I saw Luke Hughes do this unbelievably at Michigan last year. And this was something that he practiced all the time. If you're playing on your offside, okay. So if you're a left-handed shot playing right D and that puck gets rimmed around to you, a lot of times what defensemen will do is they'll just skate right at it. And they feel like the only play that they're going to have is just to put it right back down into the corner. What you're seeing a lot more D do nowadays is they're getting a little bit lower because where's the D now? Like everybody in the defensive zone is playing really low. So where's the space? The space is a little bit higher. What you're seeing on some of those rim outs now is if you're an offside D man, they're almost taking that rim like a winger in the defensive zone, getting it and coming up towards the blue line. Now they're walking the line on their forehand, right? And they already have some speed coming out. And now you're in a spot potentially where you can get a pretty good shot lane. That's not something we used to see, you know, when we were playing. That's what our coaches would call a very high risk play as a defender, bringing the puck back towards the blue line, almost out of the zone. But like, just again, like watch an NHL game. You're seeing that a lot more now.
I love that play too. love that play. And you can even come down and pre-pinch as the, or I guess it would just be pinching as a D-man, body contact, really sell like you're going to put your back down in the corner and kind of lift your stick so the puck starts to come by you, turn your body so that that guy, if he does come and hit you, he's going to bounce off you. You use the glass as leverage to your advantage to bounce off the glass and get your feet moving. Like Tove said, you come up and around. But I think one of the most important things Tove said is one of the first things, and I did not learn this until my eighth year pro from somebody who we had. I was playing in Japan with a guy who played in the NHL, Casey Borer, who we had on the show years ago, probably 2 years ago. And he's the one who told me, yeah, like when I was in the NHL in Carolina, they told me to stand outside the blue line and have just my stick inside because I get like a half a second or a full second more in all this time and space. And what a lot of young players don't realize, yes, your eyes matter, but it matters what the puck is seeing. So like when you're thinking about shooting lanes, it's not what your eyes are seeing. It's what the puck and wherever the puck is that you should be thinking about. Like the, it would be an inverted pyramid. The point would be at the puck and then it opens up the wider that it gets. And you have to think about what does the puck see? And so if you're back further, the puck will see more. If you're closer to that guy coming out to block the shot, the puck sees less. This is how goalies practice and think about where they want to position their glove. It's called, they in St. Louis, my guys call it little net, where they push their glove forward and takes away so much time and space for the puck to get higher quickly. So that right there, I think, is one of the most important things. I'll talk about shooting since Tove didn't talk about shooting. And as a guy who played in front of the net and scored a buttload of goals in front of the net in pro hockey, all right, I care more about a quick shot versus a hard shot from the point. I'll say that again. I care more about getting your shot off quick. And I mean, like when you see an opening versus the kids who you see, I'm just going to wind up. I'm going to shoot this thing as hard as I freaking can and block shot, block shot, block
take
shot.
Take forever. And get in the shot lane.
If you see that lane and you, especially when there's traffic right in front of the goalie, especially if you got a really good net front guy, a quick wrist shot, you are going to get way more points and you're going to score way more goals for your team with a very quick wrist shot, because that is going to allow that guy in front to have separation coming from the corner between his D-man and him. And also you have more lane to have a better shot at than if you hold it. I'm going to hammer this thing. Now you've got to go through the winger, maybe a center, and maybe the D-man and the net front forward.
Let me get
your shots off quick.
Let me caveat that just a tad, because getting a shot off quick from right, like the blue line and like the wall, all the way on the wall, is a very low percentage shot.
Right.
A very low percentage shot.
Get some the middle.
It can be good at time. Like, I don't know. You talk to a bunch of, most people would say that like that is a worthless shot.
Right.
So, but what you're saying is if you do end up getting the puck, we're talking about blue line play, walking the blue line. Once you get that puck in the corner of the blue line, like by the wall, you either have to move it fast or get moving fast. One of the two. What's a higher percentage shot? One from the wall or one where it's from the middle?
Yeah.
So if you can get it, move it to your defense partner. Now he might have a shot right at the net. Or you get it, you freaking walk the line, your D partner goes down, you know, and you have a winger that comes up kind of getting three high. Like now you might have an opportunity for yourself to shoot it from the middle. It just like when you're in the middle of the ice, you have so many more options than when you're long off the wall. So like, that's one thing that all coaches need to encourage, like their D-man to do, is like get the puck off the wall as fast as possible.
As fast as you can,
which is again, another kind of like plus in the column of like, get it and sprint forwards, you know, yes, to dude,
love that because think about it from, you know, the way that I thought about it as a guy as a winger, going out on that D-man, I lose where the net is. So if you corral the puck at the corner of the blue line and I'm way down low and I'm coming out to try and block that shot and defend you, the faster you move, like I'm going at the angle of trying to kind of cut you off and then you start ripping and now I got to course correct and try to find where is your stick, not your eyes and your body, where is your stick? And it makes it way harder to block a shot.
Yeah. Yeah. A couple more things too. I know we got like no time left, but I think these are really important. I think like efficient footwork is really important. You can use deception with that. Fake shots, like boom, like 10 and two, like get the wingers kind of like off balance. You do that a lot with weight shifts. A lot of coaches that do D development work on weight shifts all the time. Like get it, move one way and then pull it back. This you're like shifting your weight with, and that's like a little bit of deception, right? And so like, if you're thinking about as a coach, different things to work on, like with your players, weight shifts at the blue line and deception is a really, really good one to be able to do too. So I know we're over time, but
I'll say one last quick thing. I guess this is medium shifts tonight, not short shifts, but for
well, this week,
shifts,
this whole week is medium week, shifts.
For medium shifts also, especially like thinking from both a team aspect and a scoring aspect, D-man, if for some reason at the last second a guy drops down and takes away the lane you're about to fire at, shooting wide on purpose is a way better play because now the puck is all the way on the boards and by the mm-hmm. net and the goal line than you getting a block shot or turning it over in the high slot when all your guys are at the net waiting.
So, or rim it. If you're on the wall, yeah, just rim it down below the net.
Get it down because, like Toph said, with eating the puck on the wall, it's the same idea.
As a winger.
Yeah, now the puck is
last short. That was last short shifts.
Yeah, now the puck is all the way down furthest from your net. So even if they get the puck down there, who cares? Short shifts, share the
absolutely.
Show.
Absolutely. Thank you, Eric and Jeff and Allie for hanging out with us in the community. Let's go.